habitat for humanity. I'd use about the game tonight. How about that? Let's just jump right into the Toronto Maple Leafs lasting to play another day. On Wednesday, we were down there, John Granger and the rest of us Argo lifers that were available to go to celebrate the new season that's coming up for the Toronto Argonauts. That's right, the Toronto Argonauts. The Grey Cup was in the house. We were in the back of, Wayne Gretzky's, 99 Blue Jays way. And we were at Second City. That is correct, where the announcement was made. Yes, it was. It is now official. That is correct. Are you listening to me? The boat logo's coming back. Yes, it is. It's coming back for a big day. And I think they said there's going to be some 11 or 13 or maybe 15, 1983 Argonauts will be at the game. That is correct. We will. Listen, I stand corrected. The reason I'm saying correct so much is because I cannot believe the score tonight. The Leafs won. I don't know by how much because I was watching the end of the second period when some people on Facebook had the disgusting idea that celebrating a Leaf victory was a good idea. Well, it was a good idea for them, but it blew the third period for me. But I'll tell you what, the show had to start, so I couldn't watch the rest of the game anyway. So the Leafs win. Wednesday, we're down there at Second City. We go for a little walk to a couple of bars down there. We go down to Union Station, and the traffic was incredible. The reason I mention that right now is because on Thursday, now, normally we don't talk hockey on this show to any kind of real extent, but to be correct, I still can't believe the score is correct. Anyway. We are going to go down there. I'm going to see how many of my kids I can drag down there because I don't know the next time you'll see something like this. Because on Thursday, downtown is going to be wild. Yes, it will. You know, Leaf fans are starting to feel a little bit like us Argo fans felt in the playoffs last year. That's right. Winning feels good. Doesn't it? 9 years out of the playoffs, finally this team makes it to the playoffs and we're really happy that they've won a second game in the playoffs. That's correct. We're happy because they won a second game in the playoffs. That tells you how hungry Toronto sports fans are for their hockey team. But on to more important things. We had, I keep telling people on this program how much I admire and love the CFL players. That's correct. The Canadian Football League has some of the best men that I've ever met, especially when you've dealt with sports for as long as I did. I've been away from it a little while, but great character people. Let me tell you, they truly are great character people, and I had the good fortune of sharing their character. We went to Kitchener, Diane Kearns, John Granger, and I, and we headed towards Kitchener-Waterloo, where we went to Habitat for Humanity, Waterloo version, where our friends, the Kingsleys, that's right, the guy that works really hard to make sure you know my show's on the air, the least I could do is go there and support him. So they end up with the 100th home in Kitchener built by Habitat for Humanity. That 100th home, the first that is barrier-free, wheelchair accessible, washroom, hallways, doors, the whole kit and caboodle. So we went there. We went to check out what was happening. And I really didn't plan on coming back to do a show. But because of the darn Kingsleys, they were so excited about us being there and asking if it was going to be on the show. I told them, definitely, we're going to put it on the show. What was that? What else was I supposed to say? So I said, yep, we'll put it on the show. So I was there with my trusty new BlackBerry. did some really rushed up interviews. And because everything was rushed up while I was there, it meant a lot of editing time here. 10 hours to edit a half-hour show, folks. I am not kidding you. This is ridiculous. But Kevin and Cheryl are worth it. So, guys, this is what you've been waiting for. This is our visit with Habitat. The Toronto Argonauts, as usual, when they're asked to help, they come running. And they come running with as many people as they can. And the usual suspects were there. The Pottingers, all three, Mom, Dad, and Jason. Yes, sir, Annette, Paul. Also there, the usual suspects. Again, Tristan Black, Saskatchewan Rough Rider. But he did win the Grey Cup here in Toronto. Mike Bradwell, doing this off the top of my head now all of a sudden. Joe Appel. And I'm sorry, there was a management person there, and buddy, I'm sorry, I didn't ask your name, I should have, like I said, this was not planned, it just ended up happening this way. So, that's what we did, we had us some fun, and this would be the evidence.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
This story we are telling today is being repeated in North America and the world daily. Today, it hits home. My friends and promoters of our show, Candid Frank Live, are the subject of this report. This is not just a story, but an opportunity to give back and be fortunate enough to feel the warmth that sharing, helping, and working for others spreads. Along with Candid Frank Live, the Argo Lifers, Toronto Argonauts, the Argo Cheer Team, Argo Management, Internet Personality Bill Sancy, volunteer constructors, and supervisors came here to help the Kingsleys give back to the Habitat for Humanity. Heck, we even had a Saskatchewan Rough Rider. I asked the Kingsleys, what is the most important reason why we are here?
Well, first I'd like to thank Waterloo Regional's Habitat for Humanity. Without them, none of this could be possible. We have a little girl, Christina. She's 6 years old, and she has cerebral palsy, and she's a quadriplegic. And we're building this home with wheelchair accessibility to maintain her lifestyle, be able to take care of her, main access in and out of the home, washing, bathing, the basic essentials that any human being would want. This home is going to be allow us as a family to be able to take care of her. We also have a son, Keegan, who's 2.5, and he has Down syndrome, and we look forward to our community and growing.
Cheryl, how did you get involved with Habitat for Humanity?
I was at the mall, Fairview Mall, about August of last year, and they had a booth set up in the mall, and I was talking to Christine, who's the family, she deals with the families. I filled out an application. She called me a month later and said we were on board. They had a wheelchair accessible home for us if we were interested.
What kind of contribution did you guys make?
No, it was all done. We had to bring in Kids Ability, Christina's therapist, and Motion Specialty to help design the ramp and the deck and the bathroom that what Christina would need.
So then you found Kevin, you found a good opportunity to get some help. Now you've invited the Argos, you've invited the Argo fans, of which I'm one, and we're here, and I want to thank you for giving us an opportunity to be a part of this.
Well, I can't thank the Pottinger family enough. We reached out to Annette, Jason's mom, through social media and Facebook, and Cheryl contacted her and got the ball rolling, and we met some really good friends with the Argos community. We met John Granger with the Boat Logo Facebook, Toronto Argonauts Boat Logo page, and he was able to help us out with a lot of great friends and a lot of friends coming in from Toronto and Toronto Argos fans. I can't thank the Argos organization enough.
Joe Pella of your Toronto Argonauts, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live.
Kevin and Cheryl are very proud of the home that's been built for them, in fact, by them, with Habitat for Humanity. So I asked Kevin to take us on a little tour. So we followed him. He's real quick. I could barely get the mic up close to him. He was so excited, moving so quickly.
So you see this unit's a little bit different than the other one?
Yeah.
A lot bigger, a lot wider, a lot open for the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Christina loves to be in the kitchen with her mom, so that was a huge thing too for us.
Good.
You'll notice that these windows are much bigger than all the other units. We don't feel so crowded in here. It's a lot of light. And these houses are so built, so nice. We have all the top-of-the-line stuff. PVC piping in here. We can't ask for anything better. Insulated, soundproof. People walking upstairs, you can't hear them. So if you come down the hallway, you can see that the hallways are much wider.
Mm-hmm.
We have a laundry room on our floor and a wheelchair bathroom. So this is the biggest thing for us, because now we'll be able to wheel Christina right in. And there'll be a tiled bathroom. We'll have a lift in here. She'll be able to shower.
It's a big door, right?
Yeah, 3 foot.
Yeah.
The doors are wider compared to the other houses.
Nice wide hallway.
Yeah.
A lot of rooms.
Yeah. Christina's room's going to be on the left. The daylight comes there all day, so she'll be facing the road. She likes to look out the road. And she spends a lot of time in her bed, so to give her some light outside. You know, we can't argue there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1,250 square feet. That's without our basement. Yeah, lots of light. You don't feel like you're in the basement, do you? So right now, right where we're standing right now is below the living room, where we're going to put in the telecab, which is a residential elevator. It's going to drop down here in the corner. And this area here is going to be Christina's therapy room. We'll be doing lighting, padding, stuff for her to crawl. She just started learning how to touch the buttons, communicating. She plays at Best Buy, touch the button, red, you know, exactly. And just like Staples.
The easy button.
Easy button, yeah. So she's playing with that. She starts to put her hand out and touches it. So this essentially is going to be her therapy room. Eventually, Keegan's probably going to outgrow his little bedroom, and we're going to put a bedroom over in the corner for him, a nice big window. And my double blue room will probably be in the corner there with a nice big bathroom.
That's a walkout.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the original plan was we were supposed to have a backyard where we didn't have access to it for Christina. So this is why they're building us a deck of the side.
Is the deck going to be out, so it's going to be from here, on this side?
No, on the other side. So
the upper level.
Yeah,
the upper level.
Because this, they can't change this.
Oh, you mean the original grade that they planned on?
Yeah. So we were kind of like an afterthought, and they didn't think anybody that was in a wheelchair was going to need access to the backyard. So this is where we stand. So I'm going to put the barbecue and everything up on the deck. And if you want to keep walking that way, Jason, you'll notice that our place is bigger than the other places. You have that extra room, that extra side. We'll see this little invert here. I was thinking about putting our little garden here, right here. Because we have so much more room.
Yeah,
we got started, right.
Don't, my mother's Italian, that's going in the pot.
Yeah, exactly. We'll spend all day. Our deck will be here along the side of our house. And then we can have access back here. We can do gardening and stuff. Sure, anything that doesn't die.
That's
Okay, that doesn't cover very much.
Yeah, it'd be cucumbers, tomatoes.
They got them now. You can put them in pots now. You just,
yeah,
you
exactly.
Just grow on a deck. You can grow them all on your deck.
Yeah, true.
You can hang them from your deck.
Well, happy wife, happy life. She wants a garden.
As in any project, construction especially needs the guiding hand and approval of government on the local level. The office of the mayor and council is required, not just for permits, but the real support that government can provide, a less fastidious route through construction and eventually occupancy. With me now is Councillor Paul Singh of Ward 6, representing the office of the Kitchener-Waterloo Mayor and Council.
What brought the city to do this? How did this come about?
Well, this is a regional project, so the habitat is under the region, more mandate, not necessarily the city of Kitchener, but this is especially exciting for Ward 6, the area that I represent, this being the first barrier-free home for Habitat for Humanity. I was told today that it's not only that, but it's the 100th home that they're building and the 25th year anniversary. So it's a really exciting year altogether for Habitat. So.
And what will you be doing in the future?
Well, you know what, the Habitat for Humanity does really important work. Having home ownership is a crucial thing for everyone. And they create that opportunity, allow that opportunity to happen, to give that opportunity and extending hand to those that need it. And in a growing region such as ours in Waterloo Region, sites like this are more and more. The Habitat for Humanity is growing in areas all over the region. Just recently, they acquired lands on the Ottawa Street, off of Ottawa Street, where they'd be able to build 40 more units. So this is especially exciting for a region where affordable housing is more accessible and made available to those that need it.
Representing the Office of the Mayor and Council, Councillor Paul Singh of Ward 6 took the time to speak to the assembled Argo staff, players, cheer team, Argo lifers, Habitat volunteers, and of course, most of all, the Kingsleys and their family.
It's my honor to bring greetings on behalf of Mayor Zaire and the rest of Kitchener City Council. Also, I'm joined by my colleague, Councillor Barry Brevenovich. And also a special thank you to the Argos for being here today, because you're helping to build a home, you're helping to grow this neighborhood, and most importantly, you're helping to strengthen our community. It will be my pleasure to work alongside you to give a helping hand. So thank you so much.
I'm Quincy Hart, and I started I Believe in Me because I saw there was a need for us to believe in ourselves more than life teaches us to believe in ourselves. People believe in negative statistics, therefore they become statistics. Elementary school students and middle school students are failing and not passing their tests. High school students are dropping out at an alarming rate. The unemployment rate is at an all-time high. With self-belief, self-confidence, and an overall positive self-image, we can fix a lot of these problems that we're facing. With the positive self-image, that elementary school student and that middle school student will succeed in class and be promoted to high school. That high school student will complete high school and graduate from college. That individual that's unemployed will find a job or create work for themselves. I believe in me, therefore I have the confidence to believe in you. I believe that you will help me fulfill my desires according to the younger generation. They label Generation X. Teach them the self-confidence they need to become Generation Excellent. I believe in me. I believe in you. Join me on this mission.
We witness the happiness of the Kingsleys, the appreciation of the city of Kitchener-Waterloo, and now the reason the Argos and Argo lifers have this feel-good opportunity to help. Representing Habitat for Humanity Waterloo Region, Development Associate Volunteers, Leonore Weaver!
You were responsible for us today.
I am. I was.
Did you have fun?
It was wonderful. You guys are amazing. You guys got in here and you were rearing to go, and we're trying to slow you down to get that safety orientation in there. So that's pretty amazing to be that eager to give back to the community.
How long have you been involved with Habitat for Humanity?
This is my fifth year.
How has it changed in the 5 years that you've been involved?
It went from building one house at a time to building, five to six a year. So now we're building condominium complexes. The first one we did was 19 units. This one is 16 units. It's our first barrier-free home. It's also our 100th home we're building this year, and it's our 25th anniversary, so there's a lot of celebrating to be done.
Right, a lot of congratulations to be handed out.
Yeah.
On a personal level, what got you involved in Habitat for Humanity?
I've always been involved in charitable organizations, so I used to be with a symphony, and from there I came to here. It's a more hands-on, involved with the people, the recipients of the home, the families, the volunteers, people that are here that come to our site to volunteer. They really want to be here. They're doing it for themselves for a variety of reasons, but they're doing it because they want to do it as opposed to being forced to do it or coerced to doing it.
Well, from our perspective, it is a challenge, though, isn't it? Because you're bringing people in, and you were joking a little bit about the safety orientation. I used to be in construction for a living, and I know how hard it is to convince people not only to show up for the orientation, but to actually act on the stuff that needs to be done.
But it's for their benefit, and once they start seeing the video and all the equipment that goes, and they understand that safety is first. They do have day jobs, and we want to make sure they're safe and prepare to go to work the next day and not have to be off because we didn't follow our safety protocols.
Which leads to my comment and the question, and that is that the people who volunteer here are very safe, and they have every opportunity to be
absolutely
safe. Don't be afraid to volunteer, because your safety is a high consideration. As we say, safety comes first. And it does here. And I want to congratulate you guys on the fine job that you're doing. That first barrier-free home is awesome. We're in there. We couldn't believe how big it looks from the inside. Basement walkout. It's just terrific. Leonora, thank you for taking the time
thank
to talk.
Thank you so much, Frank.
You're welcome.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
To be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, aka the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there. like your pet wanting a snack. So to connect with us and tell us your thoughts, hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
Bill Pella of your Toronto Argonauts, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live.
Paul Pottinger and I had an opportunity to work with, our teammates were cheerleaders. So you could say, yes, it was a very relaxed atmosphere, until the girls made it known they wanted to learn. And not only did they want to learn, they wanted to actually do the drilling, drew the fastening of the drywall, they learned how to operate the drills, and I was totally impressed with their willingness to participate and contribute. It was really a pleasure. I had a chance to talk to two of them.
Raylan, how'd you like the experience?
I loved it. It was so much fun. I got to learn so much, and I actually really liked putting up all the drywall and everything.
How about you?
My name's Natalie, and I enjoyed it. Oh, it was such a great experience learning how to do the drywall and giving back to the community. I think it's really important to be able to lend a helping hand when people need it.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
Well, I've always said on the program that I really enjoy the Argos and the Argo players. They're wonderful people. They're very giving. They're very sacrificial. They take the time to be in the community and do things. So, without further ado, why don't we hear what the Argos had to say about this experience and their family.
It was fun, you know. Couldn't have asked for better weather. And everybody came out, had a good time. Got a lot of work done, I think. Got a lot of standing around done, too, though, which is always necessary on a nice day. So, all in all, I think it was a successful day. And it's a great thing they have going on here. Yeah. Joe Pella of your Toronto Argonauts, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live.
Thank you.
Jason Pottinger. How's the digging going at Habitat for Humanity?
Good, good. I only got a little blister. Joe got a massive blister.
We're going to have to check out that blister.
Yeah, which is weird because I was working 10 times harder than him. You'd think that I would have the big blister. But
he's working the hardest.
Yeah.
I think your dad worked harder than you did.
I don't know. I saw him hanging in
he was hanging with me with the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
We were really working really hard.
So I heard a bunch of laughing and giggling going on inside. I don't know what you guys were doing in there, but...
Nothing bad.
Okay.
It was all good. We were teaching them how to do it.
Yeah.
Paul?
Yeah.
Pottinger. What did you think of the experience?
It was very good, Frank. First time at it, so enjoyed every moment. Great lunch. Great food. So, and good association, so all for a worthy cause.
Mom Pottinger.
It was a great day, and I'm happy I could share in it, and they're going to have a beautiful home, and I'm really happy for them, and it's a great community activity, and a lot of people should come out and help whenever they can.
It really does feel good to do it, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Mike Bradwell. He has experience in construction. In fact, we were doing some grading work, and he made sure that we did it right. Quite the challenge, huh?
Yeah, this is a little different side of it. We got to do the actual manual labor, but you know, it's good to come out and help out the community and volunteer and do this stuff. It, like you said, it makes you feel good about yourself, and anything you can do to help is good.
And thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
And, of course, we don't hold any prejudices against Rough Riders, right, Tristan?
No.
My favorite Argo gets traded. Tristan, how's it going, buddy?
I'm good. Happy to come out here. Came a little late, trying to bring a second wind to the job site and bring some energy.
I think you helped the second half work out okay.
Yeah, you know, so I came through, everybody was a little low eating lunch. Good, happy I came here for lunch.
The energy guy.
Brought the energy, you know, and that's what you need a guy like that on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And good luck in Saskatchewan.
Thank you.
We'll be looking forward to seeing you when you're in Toronto.
You will, or not.
Or not.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Coach Hoffnagel did.
Congratulations, Coach. How does this feel?
Feels good. It's something that I share with our organization, our coaching staff, and our players. But it was a great year for us. It was a magical year that ended on a nice note.
You mentioned your players. How much of an impact did they have in your role as a coach and getting you to this point right now?
Well, they had every. I mean, it's a player's game, and we always tell them that they're the ones that sell the tickets. They're the one that people want to watch. They don't want to hear me talk, and they're the ones that make this happen. The assistant coaches are behind the scene, and they're organizing the whole thing and getting them in the positions to be successful. But this game's all about the players.
What do you think separated you from the other two finalists?
I think either one of them were more than deserving. What Coach Hofnagel did, with Kevin Glenn for majority of the season, I thought was amazing. Mike Benavides having to follow in Wally's shoes, that's as tough as it gets, and he did it with class, and they were a dominant team all year, so I think this could have gone to anybody.
100th Raycom champs, you got a new contract. What's next for Scott Milanovic and the Toronto Argonauts?
We're just going to get back to work and try to get our guys ready for that first game.
What are some of the challenges you face heading into 2013?
Well, I mean, there's always going to be change in your roster. We've lost some guys. We've picked some guys up, and just finding that mold that we found last year and where guys fit and what's the best way to utilize them, it always takes time.
Is there any pressure for you to repeat?
For me, there's always pressure to win the Grey Cup. That's our goal, and I don't worry about the fact that it's a repeat. I mean, it's another year, another chance to win a Grey Cup. So we focus on the day-to-day jobs that it takes to get there in November. So we'll worry about that when the time comes.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks a lot.
I'm just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white least I'd like snob. I like porno and Proline and books about porn. I got an average house with nice hardwood floors. My wife, my job, my kids and my car. My feet on my table and a Cuban cigar. But sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested. No way. Now I gotta wear double blue and hit the subway downtown. Yeah. I need football big on a really big field. No silicone cheerleaders. I want my chicks real. I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo.
Yo.
I fly to D.C. and hide all their weed. I go to Regina and say, how about that wheat? I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo.
Yo.
I park at Commonwealth and take Edmonton spaces while Edmonton people make Edmonton faces. I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo.
I'm going to get myself one of those Condridge Holloway Mets jerseys circa 1982 with the midriff showing, just like those skanky Queen Street Lady Gaga wannabes, and walk right into Harbor 60, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. Yeah! And I'm going to talk about the Argos on the radio anytime I want, because unlike that 60-year-old from The Fan who wears sunglasses on TV, I actually go to the games. Okay! They can take their 20 years of boring people with their Dungeons & Dragons staff and have a great big 20-year-old cakewalk right in the middle of Yonge Street, and it will make a lick of difference. You know why? Because we got the bombs. Yeah! We got Schultz, Dennegan, frickin' Naylor, and frickin' Randorf. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get Bill Simons, Joel Kroll, Terry Greer, and frickin' Don Mohn, and a giant case of Crown Royal, and we're going to go right down.
Hey, you know what, pal? You really are an Argo.
Just shut up and sing the song, pal.
I'm an Argo!
He's an Argo!
I'm an Argo!
He's an Argo!
Hey, Argo!
I'm an Argo, and I'm proud of it.
You are. Yes, you are. Now, who do I have on the phone here? Hello?
Hello, Frank. How are you?
Who's this?
It's Kevin calling.
Kevin who?
Well, you know, the man. I'd like to take the time to thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
Well, I hope you liked it.
I did. And I posted it on the Habitat website, so I thank you so much. Great things doing in our community, and thank you so much for all the volunteers for coming.
Well, you know, it's not hard to get the Argos to show up to do anything kind and considerate and community-oriented.
No, they're truly a blessing in our community. The CFL is definitely a character of its own, let's just say. You don't see that from every sport.
No, I know you don't, and you don't see it from every athlete.
No, you don't. They're different.
Well, these are guys. I hope they don't take this the wrong way, but they're the common working men. You know, they're
That's
not.
Right. They do have jobs off season, so you know, it's not all glory to them.
No, they love the game so much they'd almost play for free. They'd never admit it, but it's what they would do.
This is true.
So, Kevin, tell us some more about. I guess I really didn't plan to do that to the extent that I did it. I just decided to try and work with what I had, so it took a little longer to do it. But having said that, it was well worth the effort. I really enjoyed doing it, and I enjoyed how it came out. I guess, you know, we pretty much touched everything. Is there anything I left out in the story that you would like to put out there right now?
No. The biggest credit goes out to Cheryl, my wife, who works so hard to make sure that everything goes for Christina. The biggest thing was, you know, as people know that I used to be a truck driver, and for the first 3 years she did this all by herself until I came off the road and started helping her out. So the biggest pat on the back goes out to Cheryl, who found Habitat, who introduced us to the program, and I can't thank her enough.
And I know she's willing to admit this. She mentioned it to me that she's been diagnosed with MS as well, which is just going to be another challenge that I really believe you guys will be able to overcome.
Yes, that's true. You know, and the home's a blessing too, because within MS, you know, you do your ability does decrease over time, and already having a wheelchair accessible home, it looks like I'll be able to take care of her as well in the future. Hopefully, it's in the long future from now. But it's probably something that's going to happen, something that we have to plan for.
Hey, listen, Colleen Allen wants to come on and talk about lupus. You got it. You want to hang around?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, let's give her a call. Let me see. I'll put something on. I'll put a little commercial on or whatever. No, you know what? We'll play some Argo music and I'll call Colleen.
Okay, great.
Okay, hang on, Colleen.
No problem. Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, so we have another caller, Colleen Allen. Colleen, I understand you want to let some people know about an event that's taking place.
Absolutely. I'm going to shift gears on your show for just a couple of minutes, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
To motorsport. And what's happening is this Sunday at 2 p.m. at Goodwood Cartways outside of Stouffville, they are running the 6th annual Lupus Grand Prix to raise funds for the Lupus Research Clinic at Toronto Sick Kids Hospital. The event is an endurance go-kart race with teams of four drivers, and as it sits right now, the drivers who will be competing in this event are pretty much the all-star championship cast of regional racing in Ontario. So you got the best of the best competing against each other. It may be for charity, but it's one of the most prestigious events that there is in motorsport in Ontario, and it is going to be cutthroat competition out on that track for these guys.
It sounds like a real fun event. What track are they running at?
They're going to be running at Goodwood Cartways outside of Stouffville.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So now this is for lupus, you said, right?
That's correct. The Toronto Sick Kids Lupus Research Clinic sees more patients than any other hospital in the world, and they are raising funds to help fund research at that clinic to find a cure for lupus.
Describe the disease, lupus, so people know what you're fighting.
Sure. And this is going to be very general because I'm not as familiar with lupus as some of my friends who have lupus are. It is a disease that causes the immune system to attack healthy organs and tissue in the body. So what happens is it could go after the liver, which is a perfectly functioning liver, and cause damage to it. Or in some cases, it causes a red rash that looks like a butterfly on the face or mm-hmm. purple rash. That's why they use the butterfly as the symbol. And it can cause a great deal of physical pain. It is what they call an invisible illness. It causes fatigue and a lot of difficulty for some people who have it, but you would never know that they have it unless they told you because it's not readily apparent.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, who are you pulling for at this event?
Well, it's hard to pick because we've got some stellar guys showing up at this event. From what I understand, 1977 Trans Am champion Ludwig Heimrath Sr. will be attending, but I don't believe he'll be racing. We will have a group of young guns from Brian Graham Racing, who are going to be showing up to compete. We have some GT champions, a team that's headed up by, I believe, a young man named Dylan Thomas. Or not Dylan Thomas, Dylan Gibson, sorry.
No worries. Take your time. I got another hour and 20 minutes to fill, so slow down.
Oh, man. I don't know if I can fill all that for you. But, you know, we've got Andrew Mason from Formula Ford 1600s, I know, will be there. Nick Majors, who is the race director for Canadian Automobile Sport Club's Ontario Region, will be there, but he's not going to be competing. We will have, I'm just trying to think who else. It's a list of guys that is just incredible. And having been involved in this event for the last 6 years myself, or last 5 years, some of the guys who've competed in this event are NASCAR driver J.R. Fitzpatrick. He actually won the inaugural event with his team. We've had Indy Lights driver Shane Yancey involved. We have had American Le Mans Series driver Kyle Marcelli involved. He's actually in Laguna Seca competing this weekend. We have had the 2012 Canadian Touring Car champion Sacha Annie involved in this event in the past. So it really is kind of an all-star event in terms of the prestige that comes with winning it.
Well, it's really great. This wasn't planned. You just called and asked if you could do it, and I'm more than happy to do it. This fits the format of what I do for anybody that has followed this show. I don't sell beer or potato chips. I sell decency and people helping people. So, you know, My things are anti-bullying and, you know, any kind of help like we did this week with the Kingsleys and helping your event. So just for the folks out there, if there's anything you want to give a shout-out for, any kind of charity or any kind of socially responsible reaction or action, you're more than welcome, like Colleen Allen, to call in and tell us. Especially, like in this case, it's so connected to, I will call, a motorsport, but it's still a sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, if you've got a couple more minutes, I'd like to tell folks how I became involved with this.
No, that's it. You've used up all your time. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of a special story, and it goes back to 1998 when I was actually working as a corner worker at car races, and that was my first year. And during the season finale race day, which was the Sunday, there was an incident that happened in the corner I was working at. And I was working with a woman named Pat Bayman. And what happened was that a car didn't make the turn. And he came straight at us. He was probably doing, about 120 miles an hour. And he hit the guardrail and he went flying right at us upside down. And Pat was the one that warned me he was coming and got me out of the way so that he didn't hit me. And it was quite close. So at any rate, she saved my life that day. And a few years later, she was diagnosed with lupus. And another race official by the name of Bill Bryan was inspired by her fight to keep coming to the track and keep participating, and her efforts to raise awareness for lupus and to raise funds for lupus research, that he put together this event.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an event that's very close to my heart because it's inspired by someone that I very much appreciate and absolutely adore. So I'm happy to put my effort into it. I will actually be there on Sunday to help out with the event.
And that's awesome. I could tell you, I'll tell you a little story. Yeah,
okay.
You remember, you know, the Molson Indy.
Yes.
About Jeepers Creepers, 15, 20 years ago, something like that. I brought my little Handycam, my Sony Handycam, on to take videos. So I was actually where I wasn't supposed to be. I took advantage of my press pass and went down to the track.
Yeah.
And, you know, the corner by the Princess Gates, that sharp corner at the Indy?
Yep.
And you know how they cut wide and then they come in towards the wall? I was holding
yep.
my hand in the air with the car going underneath it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that
when
is...
you say that she saved your life, trust me when I say this, I understand what you're talking about.
Oh yeah. Because it was 120 miles an hour, 4 feet above my head upside down is nothing in racing. You know, it's nothing. And, at the point where you would have been, those cars would have been moving at probably, you think, exit of turn one, probably somewhere around about 105 mile an hour.
Something like that. And it's noisy. Yeah. Noisy.
Yes.
Absolutely. When you get down to track level, it gets really noisy. Now, I know that the sound bounces and all that kind of stuff. Kevin, you're still here. Do you have anything you want to add to our conversation here, buddy?
No, I'm just listening away. I'm not a huge motorsports person. I remember as a kid going to the racetrack at Cayuga and camping. But, I don't know a lot about lupus, and now I'm actually quite interested. I'm going to start Googling it and finding out more about the disease.
Yeah, I think lupus, Crohn's disease, is they have a connection or something?
Oh, okay. My sister has Crohn's.
I think they're connected in some capacity. I should have Googled, at the end of the day, you know, there are a lot of things that can happen to an individual. A lot of things that can happen that can bring you down. But you know, if you look around honestly, if you look around, there's always somebody who's in a worse state than you are, and you have a lot to be, it's like I posted this picture on Facebook. With I think it's four kids on a racetrack.
I'm looking
and they
at
had,
it now.
Huh? You know what? Explain
yeah.
the picture you're looking at.
Yeah, it's four children, and they're on prosthetic legs that allow them to run. And it's basically just saying how wonderful side of the world we look at and never look at the bad side.
Yep. And you know, like we sometimes talk about how horrible today is and how selfish people are. But there are some good reasons to be happy with, you know, with people and society and whatever. You know, we make advances health-wise that people in the past only could imagine what could be done. So these children have lives. I mean, as odd as it looks to see these prostheses that these kids are running on, just like at the Olympics when I don't even want to talk about the guy from South Africa. My God. Anyway, he made famous, you know, and it really is amazing what the human mind comes up with to overcome different things. You know, my biggest contention with life and people in general, and this is where I'm going to preach a little bit, and if anybody listens to my show, they'll understand one thing. I like being there for people, okay? The things that I promote, like I said, I don't sell beer or potato chips. I fund this show as best I can. And what I believe in is that our human minds could do so much work, so much good. But somehow, you know, as always is predicted, humanity has a darker side. And that darker side is about war and guns and killing and stealing and being just downright awful people. But the thread in the middle of all that are the kind and generous people that I've run into, the help that people need out there. Believe me when I say this to you folks, when you do a good deed, it returns to you hundredfold. If you don't believe me, you can talk to Kevin Kingsley about it. You can talk to Colleen about it. They've rubbed up against life's tough breaks. And what you've noticed is that there actually are people there who are willing to help you. I think, Kevin, I'm pretty much stating that pretty straight. Colleen?
I would agree. And in this particular case, with this event, you're talking about a bunch of guys who are more than happy to go out and drive a race car no matter what. And in this case, they're getting to do what they usually do, but they're doing it to the benefit of an entire group of people.
So, that can use their help.
Exactly. And actually, if you don't mind, just going to float the website for the event.
Go ahead.
It is lupusgp.ca. All the details and information are there. There is a link to provide donations. If you show up at the track, you can make a donation. And honestly, if you're looking for something to do on Mother's Day, come on out and watch these guys go at it, because this is no holds barred competition. These guys want this trophy. Believe me, they all want this trophy. So, you know, they will go at it hammer and tongs against each other to get this trophy. And so it is great racing and it's great competition and it raises money for a fantastic cause.
All right, ignore the phone dialing. I'm calling Aaron. And, what, you in love with Aaron or something?
No, he's my cousin.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Aaron, how's it going?
Good, you, Frank?
All right. I just got tired of listening to Colleen.
Oh, no. Cuz, what are you doing to him?
Well, he gave me an opportunity to talk about the Lupus Grand Prix that's going to be on this Sunday at Goodwood Kartways.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are more than welcome to hang in and listen if you like. The phone number here is 714-242-5250 if you're listening. You can call directly or you can Facebook message me. And if you guys know anybody that wants to be on, that's all they have to do. Facebook message me with their phone number and I will call you from here just to save you the long distance call. One thing I'd like to mention as well is that if you have Google Plus with Google Mail, you have a free phone calling application that can be used on, I think, any tablet, phone, and, of course, computer. All right, Aaron's with me now, which means now we're talking serious stuff.
Uh-oh.
Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Aaron, I saw your post. Here I am in the middle of watching the Leaf game. I haven't seen any of it yet. I'm like at 9 minutes left now. So I check my Facebook, and there you are, letting me know how the game turned out.
I didn't say anything. Are you kidding me? I've been pretty much silent all night when it comes to the league.
Game six. Gee.
Wait, Frank.
And it wasn't.
I
want to
ask Aaron something.
Go ahead.
Aaron.
Yeah.
What was Thora's prediction on the game?
She turned her back on me as soon as I asked about it. Actually. it goes to show you how pressing the animals are when it comes to this sort of thing.
Obviously, she was pulling for Boston.
Apparently, she was. I'll have to talk to my husky about that.
All right. So I watched everything except the last 9 or so minutes.
Okay.
Kevin said he was on the edge of his seat on Facebook. You said game six. So what was the final score, just so you can completely ruin it for me?
Well, the final score, Frank, was actually 2-1 Toronto.
Okay, so I saw all the goals.
Yes, you did.
They hung in there. The horrible 2-0 score, which is the scourge in hockey, they overcame it this time.
Yeah, no, Boston finally managed to squeak one past Toronto with about, I believe, 11 minutes left. It was, you know what, I'll be honest with you, this was a good game. I was very glad that the Leafs actually managed to pull that one out. One of the things I absolutely hate is getting messages from my friends in Philadelphia telling me how many years the Leafs haven't won the Cup in. So,
when you don't hear if the Leafs ever win the Cup.
Well, you know, my dad actually saw them play Maple Leaf Gardens in the last year that they won it, so... I'm hoping that it's not going to happen the same way.
Well, it'll be interesting if they can win on I guess what they're playing Tuesday? No, let's say Saturday, Monday. Yeah, probably no, Monday. They'll be playing Monday then, I guess, right?
I believe so.
Game?
Let me
when is their next game? Yeah, check. When?
Just let me pull that up, but I believe actually it's a lot sooner than I'd think.
Sunday? Yeah, it'll be Sunday. 2 days.
It should be.
It'll probably be 2 days later. The suspense is killing me.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it is.
Yeah, no, I saw while you look, I will talk about the game that I saw. I saw a dedicated machine that the Leafs were, who really, once again, having difficulty while having the margin in play and putting the puck in the net. The goaltending for Boston was awesome. The best thing that happened is that they won 2-1. And this kid is going to be doubting himself. Because one thing about the Boston goalie is he's got a quick temper. And you just got to get at that temper, and then they could have a real shot to end up back in Boston for Game 7. So one game at a time. Sunday, probably Sunday at 7 o'clock. The game will probably be a night game. Or do Boston play afternoon games on Sunday?
Well, according to the schedule I've got in front of me here, the next game is supposed to be Sunday at 7:30 p.m. in Toronto.
That's right. In Toronto.
Yeah.
That's right. They're coming back here. Sunday at 7:30? That is odd. That's strange. But okay, that's good for all the folks who'll be watching that game. Aaron, I'm planning on going downtown. I want to soak up the atmosphere.
Well, here's the really interesting. This is what always gets me. Tuukka Rask has been playing phenomenal against the Leafs. The funny thing is, we actually drafted him 21st overall in 2005. We got rid of him for, guess who? Andrew Raycroft.
I know. The Leafs on their own built the Boston Bruins.
It drives me nuts. I mean, we got rid of Andrew Raycroft because of Justin Poggi, who is where now? Hold on. Let me just check where Justin Poggi is.
In Europe?
Yeah, he's with Italy's Liga Italiana. So, you know, it's frustrating to me because, you know what, like, the Leafs have the opportunity to get their hands on these great players, but then get rid of them for like a broken stick in a used puck bag.
Aaron?
Yes.
Yes.
You do realize that right now you sound completely like Grandma, right?
Oh, I totally know that.
And on that note, guys, I'm going to get going. But if I could just interject one thing that just got passed along to me, just about the Lupus Grand Prix before I go. Sorry to sidetrack you. That event in 5 years has raised over $26,000.
Very nice.
So I just got told that. So anyway, I'll let you guys get back to talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs and enjoy. And you guys have a great night.
Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks,
Colleen.
All right,
take care, cuz. Bye-bye.
Bye, Colleen. All right. All right, so it's down to you and me again. All right. Yeah, so I watched the game, and they were really working really hard. And I have to tell you, that's all a fan can ask of their home team, that the team works really hard. You know, when it comes to, you know, in the stands. And we heard what happened to Phaneuf and the mistake that he made, which in my opinion, the biggest mistake he made was that he blocked that stick flying in the air, caused the three Leafs that were ready to back check to hesitate enough to give Boston that 2-on-1, A. And B, now I forgot his name, O'Byrne. O'Byrne should have done the, you know, stacked his pads at least and put his stick down in front of his skates, and he would have closed that five hole. You know, but instead he opened his legs and you know, basically exposed, the five hole that Reimer couldn't help but give because of the 2-on-1 fake to the pass. Right. So I'm not so sold on that being Phaneuf's, big.
I'll be honest. That game, that final goal was definitely not Phaneuf's fault. He was a little overenthusiastic on the pinch. I will admit that. It's not something that needs to be done. You need to be careful when it comes to something like that. The problem that you run into is that the Leafs had a host of wonderful opportunities from about the 6 to 10 minute mark in the third period, and they didn't capitalize on them.
Exactly.
You know, that's what drives me nuts. Is these guys, they play great hockey when they play phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal hockey. But they don't capitalize on what they've been given.
Yeah, and that makes it really hard to win because you don't
exactly get
too many kicks to the, you don't get that many kicks at the can. It's like you were talking.
And there's a great quote. I just wanted to put this out there. Joe Bowen has a great quote. His quote is, "The Leafs are unbeatable when they score more goals than the other team."
can we test that theory?
They are absolutely unbeatable when they score more goals than the other.
They cannot lose.
No, they absolutely cannot. But the problem is they, when they have themselves in that position, they don't finish. And that, I think, is one of the biggest problems that they have.
Well, you know what? That's going to change when, A, they have the confidence that they will score. When they stop trying to be so fine, because that's what happens when you're hitting posts. When you're hitting posts, that's a clue that you're being too fine with your shots, if you know what I mean.
No, I agree totally. When I see a lot of posts being hit, I keep thinking to myself, my God, they think they're in practice. You know, when you got one goalie sitting on the bench, and you have the other goalie in, and you're running half-floor exercises, and it's all, yeah, you know what, no, post counts as a goal. No. It doesn't work like that when you actually get into game situations. You have to be able to bend the twine.
And they did enough tonight. They did it twice, and they were very dedicated to playing defensively. They didn't cough the puck while I was watching. They had a bit of a they had a bit of a yip at the start of the third period. No, I think they had a yip at the start of the second period,
mm-hmm.
and they survived that. And you know. Like they were saying in the game, the Leafs had, 20 shots in the first period?
Yep.
And the announcers said, don't expect 60 shots or 70 shots in the game, which is totally right, because you get tired putting that much pressure on, and eventually you're going to have to settle back and make sure you don't make any mistakes. Nothing makes a coach more nervous than when you have the edge in play and you don't score.
Nope, that is true. Actually, there's something interesting here that I'd like to point out.
Be free.
This is an interesting sort of side statistic to this sort of thing. The team that scores first has lost 3 of the 5 games. The team that's outshot the other team has lost 5 out of the 6 games.
There you go.
Like, it's absolutely mind-boggling to me how backwards the series has been. When you think about whoever has the most shots, usually the team that has more shots scores more goals. Tonight, Boston had 44 shots to Toronto's 33 and got outscored 2-1.
I think that speaks to the desperation in the shots. You know, if you're leading, I guess what I'm trying to say is you play and your team has a lot of the margin of play and you come out of the period 1-0 and then the other team gets a fluky goal. You know what I mean? It just really does take the wind out of your sails. Now, I haven't had a chance. I was working on the show today, and I was doing a lot of editing today, so I didn't get to follow a lot of the other hockey games. Did you get a chance to check out any of the other games?
I had a chance to briefly skim them. I was actually at the Port Credit Harbor Marina just talking with some of the folks about the job I was actually going to be doing tomorrow. But as we already know, Chicago's already closed out their series. San Jose's already closed out their series. LA and St. Louis is 3-2. Pittsburgh and Vancouver is 3-2. I'll be honest with you, I didn't have a chance to watch a lot of hockey tonight because of what I was, you know, doing extracurricularly.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Same issue for me. But what I did notice is that we've got some really close series now developing because obviously after 6 games, if you're still around,
yep,
it's close.
What's actually been really interesting for me has actually been the Detroit and Anaheim series.
Absolutely. That's the one I wanted to talk about because Anaheim had a great year this year, which was a surprise, and Detroit
yep.
didn't, which was not so much a surprise, but people expect more from Detroit.
No, absolutely. I mean, Detroit is one of those teams that you absolutely expect them to finish in the top 5, and this year they didn't, which was a bit of a surprise for a lot of their dedicated fans and for those of us who are not as dedicated fans as well. I mean, Detroit is one of those perennial contenders, you know, and for them to finish up the way that they did during the season is a little bit of a shock.
Absolutely. But, I had a chance to watch Anaheim, and they're playing like the Anaheim that won the Cup. Very, 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 very tough and great defensively. And, of course, they have their kingpins there. So,
yep.
You know, they're not going to, fold that easily. But Detroit is really doing this with a very young team. You know, a lot of inexperience, which is something you can't say about Detroit.
No, I mean, typically most of the Detroit teams that you look at have been absolutely laden with playoff experience, you know. You don't expect to look at a team and say, well, they're in pretty much the same boat that the Leafs are when it comes to playoff experience. They're very young, they're very fresh, they're very green.
But they're well coached.
Yes, no, they definitely are. I mean, the individual they got behind the bench right now has been working wonders with them. And I've been actually very, very happy to see that because they're one of the teams that I absolutely love to see in the playoffs because they always seem to step it up a notch.
Well, they're tied 3-3. Team Canada coach for Detroit has to be happy with what his team has done. As you mentioned, Vancouver's out. San Jose defeated Vancouver. St. Louis and L.A. are playing right now. The series is 3-2 L.A.,
mm-hmm.
The Islanders are behind 3-2 in games with Pittsburgh, which isn't a surprise that they're behind, but it is a surprise that they're really putting up a great fight, almost as much as Toronto is with Boston. And, of course, Ottawa took Montreal out last night. And the Capitals are 3-2 ahead of the Rangers. So we've got some games that can come up that'll, basically end the year for a few teams in the next few days, including the Leafs.
This is true. I mean, like, a lot of teams are currently in do-or-die places, which is not necessarily the best place to be in. There's a lot of fresh young teams out there. There's a lot of teams that don't quite have the experience that they should. And I mean, it's I'll be honest with you, as somebody that loves to see competition during the playoffs, I hate to see younger and greener teams get in, but at the same time, they've been some of the more pleasant surprises.
Absolutely. I mean, this year, because of the shortened season, there are teams that really dominated this year, but they didn't have to dominate for that long. You know what I mean? And still, though, you're not seeing, you know, you're not seeing the benefit that that is. For example, with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh should not be having that hard a time with the investment that they made in players that they acquired, like Aginla, at the end of the season.
No, I mean, that's definitely a given. The issue that you're running into here is the fact that players like Tavares and players like Molson are incredibly hungry. I mean, these are guys that are born competitors from their lacrosse days in junior A all the way through to, you know, their seasons in the NHL. These guys want to win. They love to win. They like to win, and they know what it takes to actually win. I had the pleasure of watching Matt Molson and John Tavares actually play together on the Mississauga Tomahawks Junior A lacrosse team. We were talking 4 or 5 years ago before they actually got drafted. The thing that I absolutely love is the fact that Pittsburgh actually drafted Matt Molson 263rd when he initially came into the NHL, and now he's on a top-flight team and on the top line decimating them in the playoffs.
That is a great thing, and there are a lot of good lacrosse players that play in the National Hockey League. Historically, we know that from the Shanahans, you know, so that's not a surprise. Another announcement that was made today that I think is important, and once again, Crosby, Hart finalist,
yep.
Ovechkin, Hart
yep.
finalist, but here's the surprise, the guy you just mentioned, Tavares. Well, he's not a surprise, because he deserves a lot of the credit for the advancement of the New York Islanders, or Brooklyn Islanders, however you want to refer to them.
Well, the thing that I found, the thing that I actually find humorous about all of that is the fact that everybody bagged on Tavares for his skating skills and his size. And in between 2011 and 2012, he packed on 15 to 20 pounds of muscle to make himself a more viable forward. His skating skills have never actually been the best, but he's turned the skills that he has into an absolute bonanza. I mean, this guy, his work ethic is absolutely unbelievable. His hands are just incredibly soft and phenomenal. This guy has managed to make himself just one of the premier power forwards in the league. Just as a side note here, Frank, the Kings are currently leading the Blues 1-0 with 18:20 to go in the second period.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a bit of an interesting side note there. The Kings can actually close it out tonight if they win, but I don't think the Blues are going to let them.
Yeah, well, it's not over till the fat lady sings.
Exactly, and she ain't warming up yet.
Not yet. The warbling ain't started yet. Okay, let's on the segue with lacrosse. Any news coming out of the Rock camp at this point?
Are we hearing
any rumblings?
I haven't heard a lot. The camp has mostly been quiet at this point. It's you know what, the final game hasn't been played yet. I expect to hear a little more news after everything has been wrapped up. There were thoughts floating around that this might be Colin's last season. I know that he's certainly getting up there in years. He's almost as old as I am, for crying out loud, and I'm 38. That lacrosse takes a toll on you. Do you think the only ageless person in the league right now has to be Johnny Tavares? But, you know, he's a special case. But as it currently stands, I haven't heard anything major coming out of the Rock. I do plan on popping by the track in the next couple of weeks to see what's going on and see if I can maybe glean some more information there. But as it currently stands, we're pretty much in a no-rumor zone as it currently stands.
Okay, and that brings us to what we'll be doing in the next couple of months, and that is talk about the Ontario Lacrosse Association.
Yep. For anybody who doesn't know, the Ontario Lacrosse Association play something called Major Series Lacrosse. That's for individuals 21 and over. That means that basically you're seeing the same guys that play in the NLL play in the Ontario League for teams like the Brooklyn Redmen, the Peterborough Lakers, the Brampton Excelsiors, the Oakville Rock, for basically what amounts to discount prices. It's phenomenal lacrosse. It's fast. It's hard-hitting. It's gritty. It's down and dirty. I think anybody that actually likes the NLL season but prefers the more physical aspects of the game will absolutely love this.
And just so you know, a few of the cable channels, the local cable channels, actually broadcast the games.
That's right. If the majority of them are actually carried on Rogers.
Absolutely.
So that's actually a bonus. There usually are lacrosse games of the week on Rogers. Typically played on Sunday afternoons. But if you guys actually want to get out and see games live, you're looking at about $10 to $12 a game.
And it's hardcore.
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, we're talking about one of the hardest trophies to win. The teams in the Ontario Lacrosse Association, the Major Series Lacrosse, and in British Columbia play for something every year, what's called the Mann Cup, M-A-N-N. This is a trophy that is actually the most valuable trophy in amateur and professional sports. It's made out of white gold. It's worth about $250,000. These guys
will
play a 16-game season, and from there they swing immediately into 7-game playoffs in order to actually get there. This is just some of the most amazing competition you will ever see. If you guys want a little more information about what's going on in Ontario, you can go to www.ontariolacrosse.com and check it out there. They also have stuff going on Point Streak, so if you go to pointstreak.com, you can check out some more information on that website as well.
All right. Well, if I can, let's see now. Why don't we... maybe we'll move over to now I had a chance this week to go to the Argo Town Hall, the Argonaut Town Hall.
I heard about that.
Yeah, I had a little fun there. I ended up on stage with the folks at Second City.
Very nice.
I don't know if very nice is what you would call a guy grabbing a guy on the ass, so that might not have been... But it had people laughing anyway.
No, hey, you know what? As long as people are laughing, who cares?
Well, we were helping them with a skit, if you will.
It was
a lot of fun. I have to tell you, it was a lot of fun. Now, in the CFL, the season now is almost upon us. I know you're not a very, very knowledgeable commentator when it comes to the CFL, but we'll fix that. We'll change that this year.
And, as long as you keep having me on the show, Frank, I'll work on it.
There you go. Well, all right. So now they've the Argos have had their town hall. The teams have had their mini camps. We're almost at the point now. This is where all the, excitement from the fans, can't wait to see what the team looks like at an exhibition game, which is the next step. This year is going to be interesting. The biggest reason why it's going to be interesting is that Saskatchewan is going to be the home team for the Grey Cup, and the last two Grey Cups were won by the home teams. So Saskatchewan's going to have a humongous target on their back, but they've also really solidified their team. They had a great team last year, and now this year they've added some more key players, and they look to be a real... much like the Pittsburgh Penguins in hockey, an embarrassment of riches. But there's going to be some sleepers like Edmonton. I truly believe the Eskimos are going to be a surprise. The Argonauts are going to be in tough with Hamilton and Montreal and Winnipeg. My goodness, we're going to see some really interesting football in the early going. There is going to be a lot of movement after the first couple of weeks because I truly believe there's going to be a lot of surprises and there's going to be some retooling like we've never seen before. just because there are so many wild cards out there when it comes to the CFL. So you're not the only one that doesn't know what's going to happen. I'm in the same boat with you, buddy.
Well, what I'm actually really wondering and really kind of concerned about is the fact that Hamilton's moving out to Guelph this year.
Well, that's going to be interesting, to say the least.
That is one of the big X factors in the league. Now that Ivor Wynn is gone and the new stadium hasn't been built yet, we're looking at a rather interesting situation. Winnipeg has always been one of the more pleasant surprises throughout the year whenever they do well. I kind of have a soft spot for them. Them and the Winnipeg Jets. I'm not 100% sure what it is about Winnipeg, but they kind of have a bit of a fascination for me.
Well, you know what? They're going to be a good team.
I hope so. I certainly hope so.
Yep, they're going to be a good team. They've got a new stadium. Along with the new stadium comes the excitement of the fans. You know, like when the Sky Dome was opened here and the ACC, you know, you move out of the gardens, you know, you move out of Exhibition Stadium, you know. You get a little excited, right?
You know what I really miss about Exhibition Stadium, Frank? Stock car racing.
Really?
Yeah. As funny as it sounds, I miss the fact that they were driving around on a one-third of a mile tri-oval.
Yeah, but you know what? It was fun to watch.
Oh, it was great fun to watch. You know what? Here's what's really funny. Most people don't know this. Richard Petty actually won his first stock car race in Toronto.
Absolutely. Oh, really? Didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was an exhibition place.
My goodness. Oh, back in the day, Exhibition Place, during the exhibition, was a hopping place. I mean, people went to the X, not to go to the X, but to go to the CNE Stadium. They used to go there for the Jacksons played there. The Guess Who, the who's who of entertainment played at the exhibition during the X.
The funny thing is, my parents saw the Rolling Stones there. Nobody believes me when I say that, but it's true.
No, they were there. They were there, and you could stand outside and listen to them play. It was awesome. And then there were some holes in the fences where you could actually see the stage.
Yeah, now see, this is the thing that people don't realize. Richard Petty actually began his NASCAR career on July 18th, which is coincidentally my brother's birthday, 1958, 16 days after his 21st birthday. He actually raced TD Stadium in Toronto. He was named the Rookie of the Year in 1959 after he produced 9 top 10 finishes, including 6 in the top 5. The first race that he won, he actually bumped his own father off the track in order to take first place.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. No quarter given.
None whatsoever. Yeah, so this year will be interesting in the CFL. I'm looking forward to the year and how it will move and turn. Now, we've got about 40 minutes left in the show. And we hang on a second. I think somebody wants to talk.
Okay.
Are you sure I want to talk, Frank? It's been like 10 minutes on hold.
You know what? I was spending time Googling. Once in a while, Aaron and I, we have this Googling contest.
I see.
And I didn't see you up there, so I apologize for having you sit there for 10 minutes.
I just kidding with you.
And now to help heighten the what did you think of the town hall?
Well, hi, Aaron. How you doing? It's John Granger, by the way. So I just
hey, John. Good to speak to you again. We talked about this last week.
That's right. And I just want to start off, Frank. I listened to the beginning of the show. Great start. And I just want to backtrack a little bit about Monday. What a great day that was. I encourage people out there that if you've never had a chance to volunteer for Habitat for Humanity, don't be afraid. You don't need to know anything about construction. They truly have the best trainers there, and they're very organized. They provide everything for you, and the actual fulfillment that it gives you at the end of the day is priceless. So It was, you know, it's not my first time, but it was one of those times where it felt more special because of the people that were involved. Kevin and Cheryl Kingsley are a terrific family, and their kids, and Diane Kearns, who was so nice enough to take us down there, Frank.
Yep.
And we want to give a shout out to Diane. Thank you so much, Diane. Great person, great Argo lifer there, supporter. And I have to say, Monday was a terrific day, and I encourage anybody out there, do not be afraid thinking that, oh, I can't do something like that. It might be too strenuous. They will suit you to whatever your abilities are. They'll provide you with the materials and the training so you're safe. So I encourage everybody out there. We had a great time with the Argo Lifers. Frank, you're terrific. You were out there giving the full support. And actually, I got to tell people, Frank, I mean, this guy blew me a little bit away. He takes the shovel away from the players and says, no, you need a break. Let me take over. It was like these big guys are busting their butt, and here comes Frank, wants to give him a break. I thought that was pretty admirable of you to do that, Frank. That was really cool. And that's my say on that. So thank you again for giving me an opportunity to thank everybody out there. Happy to have Humanity crew. What the hospitality that they provided, I got to tell you, top of the notch. So I encourage people to go out there and volunteer. It's a great feeling when you do it.
I feel bad that I didn't get a card from the guy that who supplied the lunch. It was awesome, wasn't it, John?
Yeah, it's a local restaurant there, and he, you know, I actually made it a point to try to remember the establishment, but you know, when you meet so many new people and so many friendly people that you converse throughout the whole day, you kind of lose track of names a little bit, right? It's kind of hard to remember, but Frank, I got to say, you know, it was worth the trip. Usually I like to participate something in the Toronto region, but again, you know, our Argo Lifers spread out throughout this great Ontario province that we have, and the Kingsleys are one of those families out there that was a pleasure to help. And how about the Appel family and the Pottinger family that and Mike Bradwell, too, that came out? You know, these people are a special group that I always say that the CFL families and their players are really outstanding, a bunch of a group of people, and it was really great meeting them too. Annette and Paul Pottinger, what a bunch of great parents, eh, Frank?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to work with Paul with a couple of cheerleaders.
Nice.
Yeah, no, it was nice, and I truly
oh,
was.
Oh, cheerleaders! Oh my God, these girls.
Yeah,
the
I was,
Argo cheerleaders.
You
Yori,
and your cheerleaders, Frank.
Yori,
oh my God.
Sorry about that, Yori, the head, the coordinator, the chief of the cheerleaders, as I, you know, what a super gal. I got to tell you, she brought these girls out, drove them out there. Kevin asked her to, you know, see if she can participate, maybe get a few cheerleaders to come out. What a bunch of troopers. I got to tell you, for these small petite girls to go out there and do this heavy-duty stuff, like I said, you would think it would scare you, but, you know, nobody is given any responsibilities that they can't handle. So there's always a job for everybody, no matter what size you are. Just come out and help. And they did a super job, just an amazing job by everybody. On that note, I want to thank that, and I also want to get it back into what you guys were discussing about the
hang on, let's not let me finish. Let me just throw something out there because I didn't mention this. But on
sure.
a personal note, Natalie, who I interviewed of the Toronto Argonaut cheer team, went to school with my daughter.
Small world.
Very small. She goes, Dad, is that girl's name Natalie? Because she could hear it because I was editing it, right? So playing it over a few times. And then I wanted to hear how it came out so I could balance the audio. And she goes, is her name Natalie? And I said, I think so. And then she found out that she goes, yeah, she posted on Facebook that she was going to help in Kitchener.
Nice. It's always nice to hear a nice connection like that, isn't it?
Hey, you know what? I don't know if you heard what we were talking about, and you know, John, that did you notice I played something today for the first time?
Very nice. I appreciate that, and I think the kids in Hamilton that went out to that music camp that my friends Amy and Ken Vanderlei out in Hamilton, who have a recording studio. He's actually the weatherman, Ken Vanderlei. He does the sound for the Weather Channel, and they open up their studio home to unprivileged kids from their church to give them an opportunity. If they have any musical talent, they have a week camp that Amy opens up the house to, feeds them and so forth, and they produced that song, and they wrote it, produced it, and doesn't that sound great? You know,
yes.
It's about anti-bullying, and it's amazing. So thanks for playing that, Frank.
Oh, my pleasure. You know how I feel about anti-bullying, so yes. it worked right in. So let's see, are we leaving anything out as far as
Monday?
About Monday, I think we covered everything that's there between the half-hour show that I created out of it and what we talked about now. So now you want to talk about the town hall?
Wow. So let me ask you, that's not my first rodeo with a town hall. What was that like for you, Frank, first-timer attending a town hall? That was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
What do you think?
I think you had a good time. I think you had a great time. I mean, I think we made our presence. I told you that the passion – it just has to be demonstrated. It's there. What we, wanted to show the rest of the Argo season ticket holders is that there is another flavor of Argo fans out there. That once we get together, unite, 500 will sound like 50,000, and we'll make it happen. But we're going to be growing more than that. So it was a great time, Frank, and it was a great. Night where you can see the organization did it right. All the speakers that went up the stage were great. The question periods were awesome. You know, food was provided. It was just a good night. It, a lot of laughs. I got to meet a lot of new people. And, of course, the breaking news. Meeting Dan Ferroni, who you've had a guest on this show, was a great honor and got to catch up with him a little bit. And also, just the announcement that the boat logo is officially coming back. Well, that's obviously a clincher for me, Frank, and I'm very proud of that moment. And I was given that news a few months earlier, as you know, but I bit my tongue and I didn't say nothing until we had the permission to say it, and they officially announced it on Wednesday, which we kind of let them know how we felt, didn't we?
Yeah, I sort of kind of photobombed them a little bit, didn't I?
Frank, Frank, what he did, I got to tell you a little story. Frank, there was a little bit of a break, and they were going to call up another speaker, and I said to Frank, I said, listen, why don't you go right up there and put my Grey Cup boat logo jacket, the championship jacket for this year that I had made, why don't you put it right in front of hanging up? And he goes, really? Should I do it? I go, yeah, go ahead and do it. Here I'm thinking, I'm just kidding. We had a few beers. I'm joking with him. Frank looks at me. Okay. He jumps on the stool, jumps on the chair, jumps on the stage, pops it in front. Now, mind you, you got it in there, but it wasn't.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, I'll give you props.
Here we go.
See?
Here we go.
I had a problem because it wasn't legible completely at every angle, but it was still visible, which I appreciate that, Frank. But the ballsy kind of guy you are, I have to give you props, Frank. Sweet move, and why shouldn't it be up there? They announced it. It says championship 2012. What's wrong with it? And it was a nice move, Frank. Very nice move. Very nicely done.
Well, I'm glad you appreciated it. I also enjoyed kibitzing with our friends, the Second City comedians. I had fun with them. That was a riot.
Yeah. You actually look like a natural up there.
Yeah, a natural, all right.
And remember, we really can't talk about the skit or take photographs, as we were told.
Oh, really? We couldn't?
Yeah, we were not allowed when you had that skit. I was going to take a picture of you up there, but prior to the Second City performers coming out, we were told that no photography allowed during the skit, and that's the reason why I couldn't have any pictures of you doing it. So, unfortunately
too bad
for that.
Too bad,
but not so sad. You know, it was a great night, a great announcement. Looking forward to the season to begin now more than ever. There's going to be another little surprise coming out. I've been told by, inside Argo executive that we should be having an Argo scarf that's going to be very, let's just put it this way, the proper fit for an Argonaut team and the Argonaut fans to have the right look on a scarf. So that's going to be sweet, and we'll talk about that later.
You know, John, for anybody who isn't sure what you're talking about, we're talking Toronto FC and the first home game of the Leafs in the playoffs. The fans were given Maple Leaf scarves, which really looked smart and are awesome to wave.
Well, you know, the scarves in this day and era are becoming the flags, what they were back in the 80s and 90s. Now, with the restrictions of, you know, sticks and metal poles and so forth, most stadiums don't allow you to wear or bring in flag poles. Now, the Sky Dome has restricted that halfway through last season, but prior to that, they had a no flagpole policy for years. And if you go to Montreal, forget about it. In the O, forget about it. It's not going to happen. So the best thing is the scarf. You know, that's what happened in Europe when flags, poles were disallowed because of all the hooliganism and they were using it as weapons. Well, the soccer fans had nothing else to wave up in the air and show their colors, and the flags and the scarves became more prominent in the usage of showing your colors. So the fact that we're a little bit behind when it comes to that is sad. But I think you know me, Frank. I'm passionate about stuff, and when I think that we're missing out on something, I kind of go all out all the time. And I'm trying to persuade, and I try to put my best effort into bringing the Bolt logo back. I'm trying to do the best thing to bring the best merchandise we can have for the fans out there. And the scarf is the next thing that's going to come out, so I'm looking forward to that.
The cowbells were nice.
The cowbells are sweet, and I have to forewarn any opposition players out there that are maybe perhaps listening or will be listening at some point of the show. Be forewarned, it's no longer a picnic on the visitor side where you are. I know you guys were used to it for years where you would have a scarce amount of fans on your side, so it was like a funeral. You could hear your coach's calls. No more, my friends. Last year, I think we made an impact with the drums. The Calgary trainer complained about us. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, bud. And also the Saskatchewan trainer complained about us. Thank you very much. The more you guys complain about us, the louder we will get. I know they're not used to it in Toronto. We'll get used to it. I'm going to make sure we're going to be making a noise. And I got some other guys like Jamie. I got a bunch of them. Christian. I'm not going to start naming names. They know who they are. They're going to put their voices out there, and they'll be coming on your show letting you know that that's me making sure that the opposition knows Toronto's not going to be easy play to play in anymore. At least when it comes to us, Frank, we're going to do our bit, and you're going to be in the stands with us now as a season ticket holder, right?
Yep. I got my horn.
Sweet. Aaron, we got to get you in there soon, bud.
No worries. We're working on that right now.
Well, we're going to work on it right now, Aaron. We're going to put you on the spot. We got to have you committed. I'll get you a nice three-pack if you can't commit to the whole year. I'll hook you up. Chris Andrioli at the Argonauts Ticket Office, 416-341-2793. Let him know that, you know, you spoke to Frank and I. Any season ticket holder in the Lifer section, you're going to get a nice discount on your tickets. And I suggest you take the opportunity to buy some. Aaron, we need you out there. I know you're a passionate Rock fan. If you got that kind of passion for the Rock, you're going to love what you experience when you go to Argo Game and sit with us.
Give me that number again, 416.
341.
341.
2793. So
2793.
Okay. 416-341-2793. Chris Andrioli. And do it. I'm telling you, it's worth it. You're not. Look, Frank, you're a prime example, okay? Frank was a guy who I invited last year to the section. Loved it so much. I loved his passion. He made a lot of noise. All I asked from him, you got a ticket on me if you're going to make noise. He did. He loved the feeling. He loved the experience. I don't have to talk for him. I think he's proven it himself that he enjoyed it. He bought a season ticket for the Argos, okay? So, and that he's not the only one. I don't want to put the numbers out there, guys. We just put the ad out for the flyer. If you go to the Toronto Argonauts Bolt logo page, you're going to see the Argo Lifers has a special supporters section flyer out there that you're going to see the discounts and the advantages of sitting with us. All this good stuff is because the Argonauts care about their fan base. They're trying to help. They're listening. And, Aaron, I kid you not, okay, you have an experience with us in our section. You're going to want to come back. Frank is a prime example. Like I said, he's not the only one. We got four rows sold on people who had that Frank experience. And these are all people who were not Argo fans, season ticket holders prior to last year. I invited them to sit with us, and now they've turned it to season ticket holders. Proof is in the pudding. Come with us. You're going to enjoy it.
Well, you know what? I've already had fans try to turn me on to TFC, and I have to be honest with you. I don't like standing for the whole game.
Well,
which is what I ended up doing.
Aaron, first of all, let me tell you about the CSC. Big fan, big Red Patch Boy fan. I know what they're talking about. It's a different flavor at Argo Games, okay? It's not about standing at a whole game. First of all, we don't have that rule. We stand only when we are required to stand, and which is called proper football etiquette for your team. You stand on defense only, okay? So if our team is a good team, we will be sitting down a lot because our offense is going to be on the team, on the field. You feel me? So our rule, so everybody knows it out there, in Section 134B, this is our rule as the Argo Lifers in our section. Wear blue. You must stand on D and show your colors and make some noise. Okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody. On offense, sit down, go get a beer, go wherever you want. I don't care. I want you to be as quiet as possible. But on defense, all out, all the time. So, Aaron, no worries. You won't have to stand for the whole game. I don't believe in that either. First of all, I'm pretty sure we won't have to with the way Ricky Ray and Chad and Owens and the rest of the boys are going to be doing. We're going to be sitting down for the entire game, except for, of course, when we have to go up and, you know, we're going to do a little thing for a few seconds and the defense is going to get an interception and we go off and then we wash the offense again, right?
three and out.
That's it. Three and out. No, one. Interception, Frank. One and out.
God, you're greedy. I guess add my little bit to what John is talking about. We sit next to the family of the opposition, so it can get a little tenuous because of where we're sitting. So, you know, it can get a little troublesome. But
First of all, Frank, I have to interject. We are placed there, and this is where we would be also in other opposition stadiums. It's just the way the protocol is. The team that comes to visit, they get a block of tickets that are given right behind the visitor's bench. So it's not as if we do it intentionally to be beside them, but we have fun with them. And
that's
the only
what I was
that,
you cut yeah, me up before I had a chance to say.
Sorry.
So let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a little troublesome, as would be expected, Aaron, when you have the I'm trying to set a picture for you. Where you have the highly supportive people on one side of the aisle for both teams. You know what I'm saying? So on one
no,
side,
no, I hear that.
Right? So that doesn't mean that we let up. You know, it doesn't mean that we let up. It just means that sometimes, like John mentioned, we'll get complaints because we happen to be next to the opposition's family and big supporters.
Frank, now I'm going to interrupt you. The only complaints that we got, Frank, was from actual security. It wasn't really the fans. The fans were egged on when security would come and tell us to sit down, which was so embarrassing to be told in your hometown, in your home stadium, to sit down. But then again, Rogers Center is not really our home staff. They belong to the Blue Jays. So
then again, I know what that's like because I've had my hard hat taken away from me.
Heard about that story. I heard about, the management and your owner of The Rock, they rectified that. And same way with the management of the Argos. They had my back. They understood and they watched us. They know that we're not vulgar. We're not obscene. We just like to make noise and have a lot of fun. And some people take it the wrong way and because they're not used to Toronto fans doing it. That's just the bottom line, guys. And when we do it, it's like, oh, my God. What are you guys doing? This is not normal. And that's okay. We got to break that mold. We got to break that stereotype because right now we're on the CFL. Toronto is the so-called, quiet place. They don't cheer. They don't support their team. Look at them. They can only fit 20,000. Well, you know, the amount of people that we get in there, that's another issue. That's the demographic issue of the city and the whole nine yards. And people out-of-towners don't get that. And you have to live in the city to understand. But as far as just the fact that we're going to have people in there that really want to watch a game and are passionate about it, that makes a big difference to the team. That makes a big difference in the atmosphere of the stadium. And we're going to hear it. We're going to make sure that we are out there so people hear us, Frank. And Aaron, again, I'm trying to sell you on this because I don't give up. I know that, like I said, there are at least four rows of people who bought season tickets who are, you know, actual proof that, you know, you come to a game, you enjoy it a couple of times, and you're going to want to come back and again. Even when we lost, Frank, do you remember when we lost? It didn't feel like a loss. We still had a good time, you know, because everybody was, you know, together. We were having fun. You express yourself, and you let a little bit of stress out. And like I said, it's just a great atmosphere, and you meet a lot of good people. So, Aaron, definitely got to get you out there, okay?
No, I definitely hear you on that. Just understand me, when you hear where I'm coming from, you'll understand. I grew up during the Blood Years. I was on the board of directors with the Mississauga Tomahawks during their own 22 season. I understand what it's like to actually win games. It's very awesome. It's very cool. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, do me a favor, Aaron. Do
yes,
me a favor,
sir.
Then say sold, so I can stop talking.
Sold.
Thank you. That's all I want. See,
okay.
I'm not going to stop talking.
Aaron, to continue what I was saying. We were sitting beside the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, just to make the point. When I said about the complaint, the point I was trying to make is that all's fair in love and war and football. So the people that complained about us for being loud and boisterous were the Saskatchewan fans. Do you see the irony?
I do. I very much do, sir.
That's the point I was trying to make, is that, yeah, there could be issues, but the issues are never with us. They're with people who are just trying to intimidate us into crawling back into our little hole that Toronto fans belong in as far as other people are concerned. And so,
but I've never understood, Frank. You can't intimidate Toronto fans.
Well,
intimidated or too loud to be intimidated.
You know what? I think if you look at it, you can be. There's enough people that when they start belittling you by looking at you hard because you're standing, it's a way of intimidation. And when you get one or two people saying "sit down," it's an intimidation, and that's wrong. You know, it's wrong, and I really despise those fans who do that to other fans. I mean, seriously, you're at a sporting event. It's called entertainment. You know, if you really want to sit back, go watch it at home. You know, we're there to have a good time.
Absolutely.
I don't want to discourage people who want to have a relaxing time. But, you know, where you know there's a supporter section, and when you know there are fans who are wanting to be vocal, don't start complaining about them. Now, Frank, I have to be fair. The Argonauts, the front office this year, is going to make sure that these issues are rectified. There is a person, Lisa Simmons, who works for the Rogers Center and the Blue Jays, has assured me last year, halfway through the season, they rectified the issues with the complaints, and Ticketmaster right now is going to be legitimate.
John, I get all that, and you're right. You're 100% right. But the important thing to remember here is, because we'll make it a little bit shorter, John, Aaron and people who are listening, the people around us that don't like the loudness and the boisterous behavior, not vulgar, not mean, just loud, that don't like it, they have the ability to be mobile. They can go somewhere else. The Rogers Center has been instructed by the Argonauts that they can move anybody anywhere if they don't like it where we are. So,
well, the Argonauts actually have gone to the point where they give out replacement tickets where they can place you during the game if you don't like being around us because of the
exactly.
noise. They'll place you in a better seat somewhere else. So,
absolutely.
Well, or equal to your own seat, right? So,
equal or better.
The Argonaut front office has gone to extreme extents to.
So there are no problems. There are no problems that haven't been addressed and haven't been solved in various ways. So yeah, and then during the game, I have the good fortune of I really enjoy the families that come out there, the players' families of the other team. I go around get pictures of their children. They want to use my horn. They see it because it's colorful. I let them do what they want with it. Take a picture with them, you know. And the mothers of the players, the grandfathers, the fathers of the players, the mothers of the players. It's all good spirited fun, as John says. Yes, we are loud. Yes, we are boisterous, but we're not attacking anybody. Unfortunately, what does happen sometimes for the visiting team's fans, as the TFC team has been caught doing, they get a little carried away when they're on the road because they think they can get away with more, and that's just a natural human reaction to being in that situation, in my opinion. Now, I could be wrong, but I'm just saying. So it's all history. John, what John's trying to do, he knows I appreciate it, and he knows I appreciate the people that are in the stands who are supporting the Argos. It is our championship team. You know, like The Rock, They've had success for the most part with regularity. Unfortunately, the seats haven't been filled equal to the success of the, both those teams. So that's it.
No, I definitely hear that. I have to chuckle, though, when you talk about fans and their interaction with players on the field. I do have a rather embarrassing confession to make. I am one of the group of fans that got a penalty instituted in Major League Lacrosse for heckling goaltenders.
What?
I'll let you absorb that just for a second. There is a one-minute penalty that has been instituted in Major League Lacrosse for what's called fan interference.
Exactly what did you say, Aaron?
Well, I can't tell you exactly what I said because this is a family radio show.
Ah, so you deserve the penalty.
However, I can say that what me and my compatriot said while we were sitting in the hot tub in Rochester was enough to drive a goalie from the field in tears.
Wow. Okay.
So there is a special one-minute penalty for fan interference because of, you know, some heckling that we did on the sidelines.
My goodness.
Are you trying to scare me now? Because I can't allow that in the lifer section. You know that.
Right? Oh, no, I'm not trying to scare you at all. I'm just saying
All right.
A couple cans of loudmouth soup, and this is what happens.
Oh, okay. I thought, okay, now Aaron might be a little bit too hardcore for me then. I was worried for there for a second.
Put it this way. We had one of the reps from the Branson Battalion actually decided to try to hire me and a whole group of friends to come in and heckle the opposition for them at OHL games.
Okay, so Aaron, what you're trying to say is you have a mouth on you, right?
I have a bit of an experience with loudmouth soup, let's put it that way.
Okay, I got to say something. Sold! You're coming in then, okay? If you got a mouth, we want you.
I will try to keep PG, but I cannot guarantee it.
Hey, Frank, I think that's a great slogan then for the Argo Lifers to put an ad out there. If you got a mouth, we want you. That kind of broadens the scope of people, doesn't it?
That kind of sounds dirty.
Well, that's only if you think that.
Goodness.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey. This is a clean show. No, it's not.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
I'm just saying.
Intimidation in a polite, but not. You know what? If you're the mouth that roars, you probably fit in. and believe me, I know a few people that are in the group right now that suffer from mouth soup disease.
You know what? Jarrett's probably one of them.
No, I wasn't referring to Jarrett, and John knows I wasn't.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking of Jarrett, but that's terrible. You brought his name into it. Now everybody's thinking of Jarrett when you say that. You see, that's terrible. Jarrett, they didn't mean that.
Oh, no, I totally meant that. Church right alongside me when it comes to being loudmouth.
Okay, here's an update score. San Antonio's winning at halftime.
We're talking basketball.
Care.
We haven't talked about basketball yet.
Yeah, no, we haven't talked about basketball. And I like Golden State. I mean, I like Golden State. They upset Denver. I had them to upset Denver. I really like
them. How are the Canucks doing?
The who?
The Canucks.
Oh, I don't know how they're doing. I'm not following them. I'm following Golden State right now.
I'm going to see.
There's too many games on, Frank. You know, there's so many games, playoff games going on. You got to stick to one or two.
Well, every year, this is the problem with the NBA and the NBA in the old days used to finish about a month earlier than hockey. No,
it's
sorry,
not a problem.
Hockey used to.
It's not a problem. It's just that you got to decide on what you want to follow. I can't follow all of them, so I decide to kind of follow a good two series. You know, I like to see the upset series. So I kind of like to pick a team that has a chance to upset somebody. The easy ones, the blowaways, not so much. I'm not into that. I like to see exciting, especially if it's not my team. You know, what's the point of watching, you know, a blowout series? Like, who gives a shit?
I hear you.
Are you there? Are you there?
Yep.
You sure you hear me? Are you there?
I'm there. I hear you.
I guess the earpiece is working okay, Frank.
Yes, it is.
All right, sweet. All right, listen, I think, did I help you out? Did we kill a couple of minutes?
I think we pretty much killed almost the whole show there, John.
Well, you're welcome, dude. I thought for a second there, I'm thinking, okay, you guys aren't talking, CFL, a little bit. No, you know what? I got to call and bail you out. No! Just kidding, just kidding. Listen, I just wanted to call and thank you for Monday, Frank. Thanks for coming out. I want to thank, again, everybody out there that showed up, and the Kingsley family, terrific family, the Argos players that show up, the cheerleaders, awesome time. Wednesday, town hall, one of the best town halls. Of course, it makes it sweeter when we are celebrating with the Grey Cup. And tonight, good show, Frank. Great start, great finish. Thank you very much, Aaron, for having me on, and Frank for having me on. You guys have a good night.
Good night, Aaron.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Ciao. It's like a tornado.
Dude, I love your fans. They're awesome.
So you're sold on CFL football. We'll see how that works out. We'll keep people in tune. And what John said is very true. A real discount is available based on our group. It is a reward for our vocal support of the team.
Very cool.
Yeah, you know, and The Rock does the same thing.
No, they do. They have their Rock Blast Zone, which is, you know, adequate compensation for those individuals that choose to be involved as much as they are. Just FYI, Frank, I will be actually involved in a lot of charity stuff coming up in the month of July, which is going to be a lot of fun. I don't know if your listeners particularly care about this sort of thing, but July 13th, 2012 will be Fan Cup in Rochester. This is a charity lacrosse tournament to raise funds for different charities.
I heard I was going.
Are you actually going for that? Because I know Bruce Barker is going to be there too.
If Jarrett wants his shirt back.
Well, you know what? In that case, Jarrett better make sure he invites your ass down for it.
We had such an exciting night, and it was so, you know, while it was exciting doing the show, the game obviously wasn't one of the better games that we could have hoped for.
I forgot I had
he loaned me a Rock shirt. I forgot I had it on. Well, I didn't think of it. I was more concerned with putting together my tablet and all this stuff to do the show, yada yada yada, all that stuff, and finally worked it all out and then was on the train and I looked and I got me a Rock shirt. Autographed to boot.
Don't tell him about it, you might be able to keep it.
Well,
though if it's his Clark jersey, he may eventually want it back.
It's his Clark jersey.
Yeah, he may eventually want that back. Notice I say eventually, which means not right away.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, so, yeah, anytime there's any charitable thing going on, please feel free, as Colleen did today, and as we did for the Kingsleys. That's part of what we do here. You know, it's nice to feel good about yourself, and anytime, as you know, doing charitable stuff makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Oh, most definitely does. Actually, I'm sorry, I'm going to pimp you out here right now, Frank. I'm actually participating in Warrior Dash this year. I'm going to be participating as a sick kids warrior. If you haven't heard of what Warrior Dash is, it's a 5-kilometer fun run that involves barbed wire, obstacles, fire pits, and a whole bunch of other fun stuff.
Hey, hang on a second. I know about that stuff.
You know about Warrior Dash?
I've heard of Warrior Dash. Absolutely, I have.
Well, this is going to be my second year doing it. I'm dragging Michelle along, and Jackie, my best friend, is going to be coming along too. We are going to be forming a team to raise money for the Sick Kids Children's Hospital. I'll be posting stuff.
Can old people like me participate?
You have to make sure that you call in to get a wave. They have waves of runners starting at about 8 o'clock on Saturday, July 20th. Last I'd actually heard, most of the waves were actually full. However, if you do run, you get a free beer out of it. Which is well worth it, and a fuzzy with horns.
There you go. Okay, well, we've run out of time, Aaron. Thanks again this week. It was fun. So,
Are you there still? Yep, you're still there.
I'm here, yep.
Okay. So Aaron William Freeland,
yes, once again.
We'll be discussing some time changes in the show. With the season coming along, it looks like Wednesdays are going to be okay. This night might be tough. We're willing to listen to the listeners and what you think. Anybody who has an opinion on what night, if we leave Friday nights, if there's another night that would be okay, that would be great. Aaron, thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank. Always a pleasure.
And say hi to Michelle, and thank your cousin Colleen for making her contribution.
Most definitely.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
This has been Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio. We talked about Habitat for Humanity, the Kitchener section, and, of course, we did our part to help the Kingsleys make up for some time that they need to add with work. Basically, it was a wonderful experience. You know, you're there maybe 8 hours, but you really only work about four or five between lunch and, of course, the orientation for safety and finding all the boots and the hard hats, because they provide everything, my friends. You know, basically it turns into maybe a 4 or 5 hour working day. And it is a lot of fun. And it's something that if you do as a group, it's even better. Of maybe 4 or 5 people, you can end up on one project, and it can be organized that way, I'm sure. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. This has been the Candid Frank Live Show on Blog Talk Radio, streamed on Rouge Radio. Thanks for tuning in.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone.
Will someone please tell that dummy we changed the time from 10 to 12? Good night, everyone.